you know, Bach and Beethoven and Brahms were composers. I'm just a violist who happens to write music. But I suppose if other people are willing to play my music, then maybe I'm a composer.
I want to cut to the chase and ask you about three reflections. They are, after there's a prologue and a hymn, there's On the Saving, On the Holding, On the Returning, and then an epilogue hymn. Those names, what do they mean?
In general, when I'm writing music, I like to come up with some sort of extra musical structure or inspiration for it, rather than deciding, okay, I'm going to write a piece in four movements, and the first movement's going to be in sonata form, and the second movement will be a theme variation. That's just not as interesting to me as trying to tell a story. This chamber symphony is actually, it's an orchestration of my second string quartet. I know the string quartet much more intimately than I know the chamber symphony, actually, even though they're very similar pieces. So I usually think of the string quartet and the circumstances surrounding, you know, the writing of it and that sort of thing. As a composer, I think of myself as a storyteller. In general, I try to tell stories that I know. And this is sort of autobiographical. I'm a Christian, and I know my experience as a Christian, and I know passages from the Bible that are sort of inspiring to me. That was sort of the basis for the structure of the piece, beginning and ending with a hymn, and then in the middle, kind of telling a little bit of my own story with my faith and trying to depict some of the scripture passages that are reflective of my own story.
Would you share those with me?
Yes. The prologue is sort of creation-centered, so it's the beginning of the book of John in the Bible, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about Jesus. And then the epilogue hymn is sort of about looking forward to heaven. There's kind of that progression over the course of the piece. And then the second movement, On the Saving, was kind of a reflection. There's a passage in the book of Ephesians that talks about the experience of a person before he comes into a relationship with God through Jesus. So that was kind of a reflection of my experience before I became a Christian. And then On the Holding is a passage from the book of Hebrews that talks about holding on to hope because we believe that God is faithful, and that's our reason for holding on to hope. So the third movement, On the Holding, is a reflection on what it means for me to live as a Christian and what it means to hold on to that hope that I have. And then the fourth movement is like the fifth movement, looking ahead to the future. So again, as a Christian, I believe there are things that will happen in the future, that Jesus will come back to earth and that ultimately I will go to heaven after I die. And so the fourth movement is looking forward to both of those things, again, as described in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. That was sort of my concept for the structure of the piece, that was what inspired the music.
It's quite beautiful to link the story to the music, because the music, to me, is very large, very soothing, very, I want to say romantic, but that's probably not correct in true musicologist terminology. It just is, it's a good listen. And I wonder if, as the composer, you have a recording and you listen often as a form of solace.
You know, I have, actually, at certain times in my life. I have a recording from the original premiere that I was part of in Minneapolis about a year and a half ago. And on occasions, if I have a sort of a stressful day or I'm feeling kind of discouraged, sometimes I will go back to the recording of that performance. And I think even beyond just the music itself, which is sort of cathartic, I'm so humbled hearing other people do their best to bring to life the things that I put on the page. I think that's one of the coolest things about writing music, is that I'm sort of the initiator of the creative process, but the creative process is not just mine. The performers, it's their job to really bring it to life and bring their own experience well and try to communicate something to the audience. That maybe even more than the music itself, that's what really kind of encourages me and inspires me to continue writing music.
I should imagine it's a stunning experience. You know, I've put into words my reaction to this Three Reflections Chamber Symphony. Do me the favor of describe this piece as if you were speaking to a general audience, and then mm-hmm. describe this piece as if you were speaking to musicians.
In a very general sense, there's kind of an arc to it. It's almost like a palindrome in the sense that on the outside, you have two movements that are the prologue hymn and the epilogue hymn, movements 1 and 5. And they're relatively simple harmonies, simple orchestration, and a little bit shorter. And then the second and fourth movements are faster. They have more energy, a little bit more excitement. And the middle movement is not just the center of the work in terms of chronology, but also the center of the work in terms of its heart, you know, its content. And the center piece, the third movement, is sort of songful and simple in some ways. And I think, in general, my goal when I'm writing music is to tell a story in a way that an audience can appreciate without having to know a whole bunch of stuff about the history of art music or how music theory works or any of that. I want it to be accessible, but at the same time, I want it to be satisfying for the musicians. So when the musicians look at this, they'll see some of the really lovely counterpoints in the two hymns. As a violist, I'm always interested in making sure that the inner voices, the voices that support the melody, that they have something interesting to do, that they're not just holding a single note for 7 measures, that sort of thing. So I think, as a performer myself, that's something that I bring to the table. The second movement has a lot more dissonance, sort of crunchy, especially at the beginning. So there's a lot of intensity, and then kind of a weird, sort of creepy, eerie section with some unusual colors. The strings, for example, play what's called ponticello, which means they play with their bows basically on the bridge of their instrument instead of where they would normally play, and it makes sort of this eerie, glassy, strange sound, and that contributes to that strange color in that section. And then the end of the second movement is sort of a release of all of the tension that has been built up with all the dissonance and the fast notes and those strange colors. The fourth movement is actually is the one that's the most fun to play, I think, because I used in a number of places something that we call mixed meter. Most music that we know is written in either a duple meter or a triple meter. And so it's either in groups of two, like a march, or in groups of three, like a waltz. But there are certain ways of organizing rhythm and of constructing measures so that they feel a little asymmetrical, because they are. So instead of a measure being a group of four or a group of six, it'll be a group of 7 or a group of 5. And so there's kind of a rhythmic excitement to it. And I always like to think of it as there's so much energy and joy and enthusiasm in the music that we can't even fit all the beats into a measure. So instead of 8 beats in the measure, we only get 7, because we just have to move on to the next thing. Everything's so exciting. That particular movement, I'm always most excited to play because of the mixed meter stuff, the fun, dancey rhythms that are going on in there.
Neat. I really appreciate your going through it that way. Jacob, you're constantly writing in addition to your teaching load.
Yes, more or less. I mean, there are certainly times where I get busy enough with my teaching that I don't have time to be writing, but at the very least, I'm always thinking like a composer, and every once in a while I'll come up with something new that I'll jot down and be able to use later. But in general, I do always have a project a compositional project that I'm working on, yes.
Well, how exciting for you.
Yeah. Thank
you so much for speaking with me this afternoon.
You're welcome. I'm glad to do it. It's my pleasure.